The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, it's about keeping your tomatoes healthy and growing all season long, as well as canning prep. Our guest will be author and Garden Talk Radio host Stan DeFritis will be with us, and we'll answer your garden questions, and that all starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. We thank you for listening to our program today, whether you're listening on one of the 15 radio stations across the U.S. broadcasting our program, via podcast replay, in-studio video replay, through our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, under the Season 5 tab at the top of the page. We thank you. You want to get a hold of us, you can do that, and a couple of the easiest methods in which to do such is you can send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to actually talk to us, you can give us a ring-a-ding-ding on your mobile device, toll-free, coast-to-coast, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Big program lined up for you, so Holly, let's get into it. First topic of the day is keeping your tomatoes healthy and happy and productive all season long, or getting to the point to keep them healthy and happy so they are productive for the rest of the growing season.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that you have done a few things for your tomatoes. And I think one of the biggest questions we get, a lot of people have this issue, is blossom end rot. So you know when you have blossom end rot, you go to pick your tomato, you turn it over, and at the blossom end, which is like the bottom of the tomato, it's all brown and just disgusting looking.
Black. Slimy. Undeveloped. So what is occurring here is it has not been able to properly develop the bottom portion of that fruit. Could be a variety of different reasons, but one of the most common reasons is lack of watering. And the lack of watering directly is tied to the underdevelopment of that tomato, because there's minerals and nutrients in the soil that gets uptake by all plants when there's enough moisture in the soil to transfer those nutrients up through the roots and into the plants for the necessary means in which that plant is using them for. So the soil gets really dry. It can't, and the fruit is developing, and it cannot transfer that calcium, which is one of the main elements of that the deficiency problem there, into the plant to develop the bottom portions, or the portion that is black that you're seeing. So watering is the key. Now, that is, like I said, that's the most common. There are other elements that can be contributing factors, but 95 to 98% of the problem that is caused by blossom end rot is the calcium not being able to be transferred from the soil up the plant to develop the fruit correctly.
Right. So that is a major problem.
So we want to water regularly.
Yeah, you want to water regularly. So whether that means using irrigation or just getting yourself on a watering schedule. Right now, we're in a drought.
Yep.
So if you and the temperatures have been pretty warm. So if you live in an area where you have a drought and the temperatures have been warm, if you need to, you might have to water twice a day. Not always. But if you have containers, if you have your plants in pots, you likely will want to water twice a day.
And we've got many devices. We've got Tree Diaper. We've got the Water Hoop. We've got DripWorks.com irrigation system. We've got a number of products that can help do that, whether you need to hook them up to a faucet or let them naturally absorb water and then release it when the soil needs it. So that's the key to fixing that problem. If you see it on your plants right now, doing the steps of watering, keeping that soil to a damp consistency, will not fix the problem on the fruit currently. You want to remove those fruits immediately as soon as you see it, because you don't want to have the plant spend extra energy creating the rest of that fruit when it's not going to be developed correctly. Start watering right now. It will help and prevent or greatly reduce the next set of fruit that will be developing on that tomato plant.
Right. So that's what you can do for the blossom end rot. So another issue we have, or another thing you can take care of, is early blight. And so it's not too late to do this.
Quick snap watering system as well. Quick snap there.
Early blight. Early blight is when you get that yellowing at the base of your tomato plant, and then it continues to go up the stem, and all of a sudden you have a sad-looking tomato stalk, and then...
Before the end of the season.
Yeah, not even before the end of the season. So one thing you can do is you can use yellow whole grain cornmeal, and you just take a handful of that and put it around the base of the plant. If you have mulch there, you want to move that mulch aside, and then put the whole grain cornmeal...
That the plants are planted, this is not going to hurt anything. Whole grain yellow cornmeal. And people have come up to us when we used to be able to do talks in the world and would say, I thought this was the craziest thing ever. I did it, had the best tomatoes I've ever had. So it does work. We absorbed this information from a master gardener out of the Austin, Texas area, I believe, Bob Webster. He'd been doing it for a number of years. We've been doing it for a number of years since we've learned about this. And our tomato crop has been phenomenal to the level that it has never been prior to that. We'd had that stalks and the fruit and all the leaves dead on it.
So the reason it works is there's good and bad things in your soil. Early blight is one of them. And the whole grain cornmeal has this beneficial fungi called Trichoderma. And for whatever reason, it helps combat that early blight. So the handful of cornmeal, and then also we highly suggest mulching too, helps keep that at bay, because when it rains or when you water, it splashes up onto the leaves of your plant, so that cornmeal helps the problem.
Also, removing the lower 6 to 8 inches of limbs and leaves up the stalk from ground level, opening up that lower portion of the plant to allow air circulation and reduce the splash up, in addition with the whole grain cornmeal and the mulch, eliminating some of that lower foliage, greatly helps that. Even if you have limbs that are up above in the upper tier of the canopy of the plant that's leaning down or stretching down to the ground, cut them in half, get rid of them, because any splash up will incur with those and cause problems. 90% of the problems your tomato plant is going to face this year will have to do something with the soil splashing up on it.
Right. So that brings us to keeping your mulch plentiful. So we use a lot of leaves from...
Using the right mulch.
Yeah. We use a lot of leaves from the previous fall. But as they break down, and they will break down, you know, we might have to come in and backfill with something else as the summer goes on.
So what can we use?
Well, we can use straw. Straw is a really good option. It seems to be becoming more popular for people to mulch with straw, especially around their edibles. So you want to use straw, not hay, and you can usually just get bales of straw from your local garden center. If you live near any sort of farmland, sometimes farmers will sell bales of straw, but you can definitely use straw. Another option is the leaves. So if you save a bunch of leaves from the previous fall or this fall, think, oh, I might want all these leaves for mulch, that's definitely an option. Another option is dried grass clippings, but you want to make sure that there was nothing sprayed on that grass to like a broadleaf herbicide.
Weed and feed,
yeah, whether it be by you or you pay somebody to spray it. You don't want to put that on your edible garden, but if you don't spray anything on your lawn, you just want to take your grass clippings, bag them up, and then you kind of want to just lay them out, whether it be like on your driveway or a part of your lawn, so they dry a little bit.
Make sure there's no seeds on these, because grasses can produce seeds even when the grasses are 4, 5, 6 inches tall. We think of plants going to seed when the grasses are 1 foot or 2 foot or fescue in a field type of thing. Grasses can produce seed very, very short height, and you may think, oh, what's going on? Just some white stuff on the top. That's actually seeds that are developing that you can incorporate into your garden. And then, have more weeds than what you know what to do with.
Right. I don't know if this is the best advice if you're in the area of the country where you're having a drought. Your grass might not be growing very much. So it might not be the best idea, but it's an option. Otherwise, we've used shredded paper, and that works if you're concerned about it blowing around. When you apply the shredded paper as mulch, you can water it a bit, and then it seems to just stay.
Yeah, it weights down enough. And we have even not watered it, and it has worked very well, too. Let's see, what else do we have here?
So fertilizer, you want to think about the fertilizer for your plants, for your tomatoes?
Yeah, you can use Dr. Jim's Tomato Secret for that. You can just apply it as the instructions show and it tells you. You can do it right now, even though the plants, you may have not used it at the time of planting. You can utilize it right now. And you want to feed your plants, whether you have good compost or growing in good raised bed mix or not. Now, we have lacked in this category for a number of years. Last year, we transitioned to raised beds, and we brought in very rich, fresh compost, and the plants did way better than they'd ever did in the ground. We topped the beds off this year, and we are going to supplement with a liquid fertilizer or like a Dr. Jim's. We will also can use a Ivy Organics 6 macro fertilizer as well in order to feed the plants. Preferably in organic means, whether that even is even compost tea, you can certainly do that. But we want to essentially give the plants more nutrients than it needs, so it's never lacking in, I need more, I don't have it, and the plant suffers in production.
Right. So you definitely want to make sure that you are feeding as they need to be fed and using the fertilizer. Another quick thing is to look for problems. You're probably thinking, somebody told me not to go looking for problems, but you want to look for problems.
Right. There's four billion different things that can go wrong with your tomato plants. We've covered about the most common ones that we get on a regular daily basis come in to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
So I think the biggest thing is just, you know, when you're out there, whether you're weeding or applying mulch or whatever, just look at the leaves and see how the tomato plants look. Look around, you know, make sure you're not seeing anything strange, because as soon as you see like the first, if you have a problem, as soon as you see the first sign of the problem, I promise you it's not going to get better. Over time, it's probably going to get worse.
If it doesn't look right, it's probably not right.
Right.
So it's time to start looking at what's going on. Well, speaking about if it doesn't look right, it's not right. Walton's Incorporated is not that. They've got all the products and tools you need, everything but the meat, whether you're making meat sticks, taking the animal from animal to edible, and everything in between.
Yeah, Walton's will help you get your product right. So we know you care about where your food comes from. We're going to talk about canning later, you know, preserving your fruits and vegetables, etc. Walton's Inc. has everything that you need, equipment, seasoning, supplies. You can make sausage, jerky, all that good stuff. Walton's also has meatgistics.com, an informational website to help you make the best finished products. So that has meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, seasoning.
Seasoning. The seasoning is magnificent.
The seasoning is delicious. And it's not just for meat. It's also for vegetables as well.
Baked potatoes.
And it helps you go from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat, and that's waltonsinc.com.
Well, when we come back, don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about canning prep, and we figured out where all the canning lids have gone. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Do your trees look sad? When we here at the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show gardens have tree and shrub issues, Dr. Jim's is the product we reach for, as it is the product that works. It really provides results. Their small batch, extra potent blend of readily available nutrients is exactly what your trees, plants, and bushes need to regain their health and stay bug free. It's super easy to use. It feeds the microbes and adds new life to your soil so you can grow stronger plants. Chemical-free, environmentally responsible fertilizer, that works. It will put a smile on you and your plants. To find out more about Tree Secret and other products, visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com.
Now that your garden is in place, help your plants grow with Chapin's sprayers. Use our hose-in and handheld sprayers to feed your plants and control pests. Set up a fertilizer injector to water and feed at the same time. Cover large areas with a backpack or ATV sprayer. Chapin equipment is available at all major home improvement and hardware stores and online at www.chapinmfg.com. Chapin, cover more ground.
Wild Delight has a complete line of premium food and treats for wild birds and other wildlife. It contains the finest ingredients you can feed your outdoor pets. Fill your bird feeders with a selection of Wild Delight's premium quality mixes to have a yard full of colorful birds. Wild Delight is filled with nuts and berries your birds will love and contains no filler ingredients such as cracked corn or Milo. Feed the birds the nutrition they need. This keeps your feathered friends coming back year after year. Find out more at wilddelight.com.
Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night, dries clear, and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to DeerDefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. Do you know there's a real Tiger Torch? Visit TigerTorchLTD.com for more information. Rinse kit, pressurized water on the go. No pumping, no battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink on the way out for up to 5 minutes of spray time. Anywhere, live dirty, rinse clean with Rinse Kit. Tired of dealing with bugs but don't want to use harmful chemicals to repel them? Naturally green, no more bugs, is all natural and plant-based. No more chemical bug repellent. Use it around your home and on you, indoors and out. DEET-free and will not stain. Repels mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, flies, and more. No more bugs is the answer to what is bugging you. Stop using harmful chemicals and use what is safe for you, your family, pets, and the environment. For more information, visit natgreenproducts.com. natgreenproducts.com. You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rincon Vitova, Chip Drop, Bailbuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for allowing us to be part of the program today. Thank you for letting us be part of your world today. With the drought being going across the country, Tree Diaper has the device in which you can utilize in order to water your plants consistently.
Before Tree Diaper, watering trees, shrubs, and bushes was not your favorite job on your property, let's be honest. But with Tree Diaper, it's not really a job. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases stored rainwater when plants need it. Or you can water it yourself. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water, and it slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. Made in the USA, you can find all the sizes they have available. That's treediaper.com, treediaper.com.
Well, we are going to soon be in the time of canning what you grow, and we need to get canning prep. We need to get our tools together, get our equipment together, know what we need to know, and don't do what shouldn't be done so we can do things the right way the first time, and it's safe.
Right. So I know here canning lids have been difficult to find, and I know that in other areas perhaps too. And so earlier this week, I called Ball Canyon. I called their consumer services hotline. And I spoke to a very nice gentleman named Michael, and I asked him, like, what's up, you know, with the lids, because I know that I asked the manager at one of our local grocery stores, and she said that they were going to ramp up production for the canning season to provide more lids. And he said that was true. That was going to happen. But also, a lot of people decided to start canning last year, and panic bought or whatever, a lot of lids, you could say. And then even some people now are flipping them online and selling them for more than what they should to make a profit because of the urgent situation that occurred with the canning lids. I didn't even know this was a thing, but apparently it was.
Right. You see this on Marketplace. You see this on selling sites, three boxes of 12 for $25 and whatnot. So the canning lid should be, at least in some form of production, getting closer to your stores, hopefully by the time where many of us will be needing them.
And it sounds like Ball is definitely on top of it. Like
they're aware.
They're aware. They know it's a situation. I mean, and obviously they can't control that. Some person who shouldn't be selling them and taking advantage of poor people, they can't control that, but they can ramp up production. They can do what they need to do.
So we got to get canning lids. I understand that if there is a certain situation where you have to get off-brand canning lids, it's not the best. They probably come from China, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Right. And that might have to happen this year.
Right.
And if you are one of these people who's you know, selling them, trying to make a profit, just please stop. You're not being fair to anybody.
I mean, if you bought them for $3 and sold them for $4, okay. But some of these are, they bought them for $3 and they're selling for $7.
Right.
I mean, I understand the market, you know, you can make a dollar here, dollar there. But anyway.
Maybe you should try to find a different hobby or something.
Besides canning lids, what else do we need to be aware of if we're going to start canning? Many people may be trying to preserve either this is their second year or their first year. What does one need to know here?
So I think the biggest thing is to talk about is the recipes. You want to use reputable recipes, and you want to use, especially if you're newer to canning, you want to make sure you're using a recipe that's been developed within about the past 15 years. Things have changed. The way food is growing has changed, things like that. So good websites like is Ball, which is freshpreserving.com. Another one is the National Center for Home Food Preservation. If you can get the Ball Blue Book, it's usually found at like grocery stores or farm supply stores, or you can find it online too. But if you want to page through it before you purchase it, you can find it at grocery stores or even like big box stores.
Just because you have a recipe from old Grant Abel, you know, Rose or whatever, your great grandmother or grandfather from 1873, you don't want to use it.
Right. So you want to make sure you use a reputable source. So there's the Ball Canning website, which is freshpreserving.com, the National Center for Home Food Preservation. Better Homes and Gardens has a lot of great canning information. And then Taste of Home website, and they have a magazine. I don't know if they have canning recipes in their magazine, but that's maybe how you might be familiar with them. Taste of Home also has safe and reputable canning recipes. So once you have your safe and good canning recipe, you want to review it, because you might think, okay, yeah, I have, you know, sugar, and I have this, and I have that.
But I don't have this thing.
But then all of a sudden you go to can and you're like, oh, wait, no, I don't have this.
We'll just go ahead and can without it.
Right, and that's not safe. So a few things that people don't think about is like lemon juice. And you want to use bottled lemon juice because it has a consistent acidity. And you might think, I got that in the back of the fridge. And you go to look and it expired last October.
2016.
Right. Or whatever. Whatever the last
time. Not that that's happened to us.
No. Not that's happened to us. But yeah, so you want to keep that in mind. Another thing is just knowing, like, there's one recipe we make. I think it's zucchini relish. We have to let it sit like overnight or something.
Three hours. Jerusalem artichoke relish is overnight. Zucchini relish is for 3 hours.
Right. So you might think, okay, it's 7 o'clock. I'm going to can this. All of a sudden, you have to let something soak for 3 hours. And then by the time you cook it down and let it soak, you're pulling jars out of the canner at 1 a.m.
Right.
So that's not that we've ever done that.
Twice.
Twice. Sugar. Another one I forgot almost to mention was salt. A lot of times it calls for canning salt. So it's just because it doesn't have that iodization. So canning salt is what you want to use.
And isn't canning salt just a little larger granular size than iodine salt?
I think so.
But you have to use uniodine salt or what is called canning salt in order for the science to do what it needs to do.
Right. So there's that. Now, if you're cooking like salsa or something and you're cooking it down, you're adding a pinch of salt. If it's iodized, it's fine. But if it's something like anything that is a higher salt content, you want to use that canning salt. So then vinegar, pectin. So there's Pomona pectin, which is you can do the recipe regular or you can do a lower reduced sugar recipe.
Right.
Jars, you know, you want to make sure your jar situation, what do you got going on with
that? Yard sales is a great place for that. There's a lot of people, even though you may think, oh, everybody's canning. There's a lot of canning jars on Marketplace, at yard sales. Now, the price has gone up than it was 5-8 years ago. Just because there's a demand for them, but you can get a lot of good canning jars. A couple of things you want to look for if you're buying canning jars at a yard sale. Kind of hard to do this on marketplaces. Rub your finger around the rim to make sure there's no cracks or dings or fractures, and make sure they say Mason jar on them. It's not just a clear old 1987 mayonnaise jar that's thin wall that's not good for canning.
Yeah, you want to make sure they're proper Mason canning jars. And definitely, you know, check that situation out. Make sure that maybe you have enough for what you need. You might still have a lot of canned goods on the shelf, and you might think, oh, I got enough jars, whatever. And then you don't. So you kind of want to plan for that. Another thing is pectin. So there's Pomona pectin. Again, you can use lower reduced sugar recipes with that, or the full sugar as well. It's just a better option depending on what your need is.
Well, there are recipes and there are ways of canning in which you do not have to add any sugar at all. You can use water, like peaches. If it's all peaches except for, I think it's white peaches, you can just put water in. You don't have to add a syrup.
Right. So I'm talking about pectin.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Pectin, you don't can peaches in pectin unless you're making like peach jam or something.
Right. And we've covered this before, but I want to ask it again, difference between jam and jelly for people who are new?
Sure. So jam is canned with the chunks of fruit, and then jelly is just basically the liquid, and then it makes like a gel, mm-hmm. like a jello type consistency that you spread on your whatever you do with your jelly. So another thing is to look at all your tools, locate them. So if you have your jar lifter and you don't know where it is, and it might be in the back of a cupboard or drawer somewhere, find that, you know.
Gave it to somebody and you freak out about it and you don't have it anymore.
Right, that happens too, or your funnel or whatever. So you want to definitely make sure you're collecting those items and getting them prepared and making sure they work proper. Like our canner is a little bit, I don't know, seeing better days, but not our canner, our jar lifter is seeing better days. Yeah. So that's another thing. And then that's another thing, locate your canners. You might have put them on a high storage shelf somewhere and you want to get them down and make sure they're nice and ready to go.
Well, back on the tool situation, you need a head measurer, a funnel, jar lifter. We've got about three of each of those because we've got three funnels. We've got one head space measure. We've got a couple of jar lifters, and you want to have five or six towels and a whole roll of paper towels, because when you can, if you've never canned before, it is a very quick, timely. We got a boom, 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 right in a row. You can't go, well, we're partially done, we're going to eat supper, and then we'll finish. It's got to get done all in a timely manner. Otherwise, it's not done correctly, and it can be put in the jar, and it can be unsafe for consumption.
Right, and that's correct. So you want to make sure that you are set up ready to go. And then, you know, just things like measuring cups, ladles, wooden spoons, anything that you might need to...
Wooden instead of...
Metal.
Yeah, why?
Because metal can cause a reaction. When you have it in the pot, and then it just causes a reaction. It can cause reactions. So you want to use one.
Advised by the higher ups at the ball and every other reputable sources, saying that it wooden is what you need to use.
Right. Another thing I want to mention is that maybe you want to consider trying something new this year. There are kind of artisanal recipes. One of them is by Melissa McClellan. She writes the book Food in Jars, and she has a few different other books. And she does kind of artisanal recipes. She's a great resource. And even like Better Homes and Gardens has some fun recipes that are a little bit different. Like we made basil tomato jam or something mm-hmm. like that. That was delicious and it was fun and different. So,
and you made chocolate orange jam?
Chocolate orange jelly. And that's on our website at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Makes a great, fun gift. So consider trying something new because you never know. You know, you could try something new. You might like it. You might hate it. You might just give it to your coworkers and say, here you go.
Well, if you're going to do it, you want to do it on a small scale.
Yeah, sure.
Because we done pickled Swiss chard stems, one of the more popular videos and articles on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, in the last 60 days. It looks like pickled celery, and to us, we did not enjoy it. Now, obviously, there's people that do enjoy such thing, but we did not find it was something that was enjoyable. It's a different thing. Now, pickled asparagus, now that was good when we did it that way. So there are some things that are good and some things that are not so great. So anything else we need to add to canning prep?
I would just say, you know, make sure you're prepared. Think about what you need, what you're going to need, and then go from there.
Well, summer is in full swing, and we're not looking back. We've got hot temperatures, it's dry, but those nasty Japanese beetles are wreaking havoc on our garden, Holly.
Yeah, if you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetlegon from Phylum Bioproducts. It's derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria. Beetlegon is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. Just mix the powder with water and spray it on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pests will stop feeding and die. And since it's an organic BT product, you know that the great choice to use on your fruits and vegetables in addition to your ornamental flowers and shrubs.
Not only does Beetlegon work, but what I like most about it, Holly, this product is that it's safe to use around beneficial insects such as butterflies, bees, and ladybugs, and has no issue with water toxicity. Beetlegon from phylumbioproducts.com. That's phyllom bioproducts.com. It's a product that works and it's safe for the environment. Well, do not go anywhere. When we come back, our guest, Stan DeFritis. He is a radio host and author and a man that's been in the gardening horticultural world for over 40 years. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Soul Brew Kombucha is founded and handcrafted in Milwaukee, 100% organic, formulated for ultimate health and enjoyment. Find out the benefits of drinking kombucha and where to purchase at mysoulbrew.com or find them on Facebook at My Soul Brew. If you could double the life of your raised bed boxes by sealing the wood with a clear non-toxic wood preservative, would you? Well, now you can with a clear penetrating product called Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's 100% non-toxic and easy to apply. Seal your untreated wood surfaces, even chicken coops, by spraying on Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's invisible, seals the wood from the inside out, and never wears off. Recommended by organic gardening experts, Internal Wood Stabilizer. Check it out at TimberProCoatingsUSA.com. We've been using a game-changing tool called SeedLinked to find and review our seeds this year. It makes finding the right seeds simple. It is driven by growers' data so you can really see what's best for your location. Check it out at SeedLinked.com or download the mobile app today. The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raise beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order. Seed Savers Exchange has been saving, preserving, and sharing heirloom seeds since 1975, and today continues to provide those seeds for gardeners just like you. They have over 600 varieties. Visit seedsavers.org to request a free catalog or to purchase seeds online for this year's growing season. That's seedsavers.org.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online. Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at PiperandLeaf.com. Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Good bugs to eat bad bugs. RinconVitova.com. Call or email today. 1-800-248-BUGS. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following. Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Moments away, Stan DeFritis. But first, you got problems with some Japanese beetles in your yard? Rescue has the product in which can help you rid them from your garden.
Yeah, Japanese beetle traps, when used properly, draw beetles away from your plants and trees. The trick is to hang them 30 feet from plants you want to protect.
That's the thing. People will put them right on the plant, and you're bringing everybody in the neighborhood for the party. You want to get them away from the plant. That's why the product works when you do it correctly.
Right. So, yeah, traps them, and then you want to keep them away from where they're going to cause the damage. Rescue Japanese beetle traps are the only traps with a controlled-release lure that lasts the entire beetle season. They have an extra-large bag that is welded directly to the trap, stays put even when it's full of beetles. And then it's the only trap with a reusable bag that opens and closes at the bottom. If beetle season is a bad one, you just open, empty the bag, trapping the beetles with the same trap. You can go to rescue.com for all their products, traps, and then they're made in the USA. So that's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Yeah, Mr. Green Thumb, Stan DeFritis, is an urban horticulturist, columnist, author with over 40 years of gardening experience. He is also host with his son, James, on the Ask Mr. Green Thumb and Real Estate show on AM 860, The Answer, out of Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be with both of you.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day, Stan. And for people who are not aware, you went through some very rough patch the last couple of months. You've got a new heart, and I'll let you tell the story.
All right. Yeah, I'm very feel lucky and blessed. I am the 1,465th heart transplant person out of Tampa General Hospital. And so they've done a few of them. I guess like a lot of guys, I tend to think, you know, I'm macho. I didn't smoke. I don't drink. You know, I might have a glass of wine or a beer on occasion, but I'm not a drinker. I've been athletic all my life, you know, from winning awards at my high school as the best track athlete to being most valuable player on my little league team and being a second degree black belt. I've been, you know, captain of USTA tennis team for 30 years. So I was pretty athletic. And I always, if you'd have asked me, I'd have thought my heart was the strongest one around just about, because I could go and do a lot of things that a lot of people couldn't do. But slowly but surely, I had congestive heart failure, you know, to the point of I wound up sleeping in an easy chair as opposed to I couldn't lay down to go to sleep. My legs got so big and feet that I couldn't get my shoes on. And so I went to the doctors and they said, they they degreased me, took off 27 pounds of water. And eventually where I was at Countryside Hospital in Clearwater, or they said, hey, you need to go to, you need a new heart. And so I went over there and my Dr. Kumar said, hey, I got to put you in right now. You're down to like 10 on the refraction scale. And anything less than that, it's, you know, that's all, folks. And so I believed him and I thought, well, I better do what they say. So for about, oh, almost 60 days, 59 days, I was on a machine and called an Impella that actually pumped blood into my heart. And without it, I would have died. I was getting to a point where I would have either had to have received a thing called an LVAD, either an LVAD, which is like kind of an aquarium pump. But, you know, the problem with that is it's a good thing. They didn't have it 20 years ago. People just died. But, you know, I didn't have to have it permanently. A heart came along and a young person's heart that was 23. And I would say my life was saved and probably three or four other people, you know, some kidneys and liver and that type of thing. So that was just really a blessing. And I would say, you know, if you're thinking about being a donor to it, you know, burning up a good heart or liver or kidney, or burying it, you're not doing much. And if you can save someone's life, I've been a donor for 30 plus years, not knowing that I would actually need that service. But you know, to me, it was a blessing that she gave me the gift of life. Now I do have to take anti-rejection drugs.
But well, it's glad we're glad that you're here with us to not only help educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country with some gardening questions. With 40 years of experience, you probably know the answer to a couple of that we're going to ask here.
I hope so. Yes.
So how would one know when it's time to prune a tree, and what is the best method to prune it? If you can't prune it yourself, how do you know who to call, and what's a professional line of communication with somebody so you're not getting gypped?
Yeah, the last line would be to get a certified arborist in. I am a certified arborist, but I always say I'm a certified arborist that doesn't ever carry a chainsaw. But I go out and look at trees. I do a lot of court case work. I've worked on probably 500 cases, but I don't do much as far as, you know, I'll look at stuff. I'll inject trees sometimes for insects or fungus or with nutrients. But I would say, you know, when you're going to trim a tree, you probably want to think of the three-step method. If it's any kind of a big branch, you undercut, you cut from above, you cut off that branch, and then you make your next clean cut. So you might leave maybe a foot, and then you cut it down to, as an arborist would say, either the branch ridge or branch collar. And it's sort of where that thick part is before it starts to become thinner again, or, you know, the regular size on the branch. That's how you should trim it, because if you just trim it from above down, often you'll get it to split, and it'll split down into the trunk, and then you've got a lot more area to worry about disease and other problems getting into a tree. Probably the best time to trim a tree is during the dormant season. And that, of course, can vary for, you know, like where you're at, the dormant season. You might have branches just breaking out now with new buds. With here, we're almost year-round tropical. We don't get much as far as really hard freezes. It's unusual. The last hard freeze I can remember as a youngster was 1962. So we're going back just a ways in history here. But I mean, I have bananas in my backyard, and I've got avocado in my front, and I've got citrus, and I've got a lime. And I mean, since I can grow tropical, I like to grow tropical with hibiscus and things of that nature. But going back to your question with the trimming, you know, if it's small enough, you think you can do it, do it. I would say for guys, you know, there again, that get to be my age, if you get to be in your 60s, don't go climbing around on a big tree, you know, with dress shoes, with a chainsaw, if that's not your business. Because one trip to the hospital, and you're going to spend a lot more time and effort if you don't die, So get someone who's someone else who says, hey, these guys did a great job. They did a nice job cleaning up afterwards. They didn't leave a lot of stubs. Now, if it's something small and you can do it yourself, you know, I'm all for that. I like doing stuff myself. I'm a do-it-yourself kind of guy. But I have to rein myself in a bit, too. You know, the lovely Mrs. GT sometimes tells me, hey, remember, you're not 20 or you're not 30 anymore. You know, so you, there were times, you know, I would climb up on the top of a 4-story roof and re-roof my roof 20 years ago. But I don't think I'd do it today. I might supervise it, and I'd probably do the same thing with tree trimming. I'd probably get out there and watch, and I might make some suggestions. You know, any branches that are dead, any branches that are rubbing against each other, crossing in an unusual fashion, they should be removed. Down here, when we do get hurricanes, it often just beats the heck out of trees. And so you often have a lot of trees that you have to do some trimming on. You know, a relative of mine who lives in Louisiana this last year had every tree on his property knocked down by a hurricane that went through. And he had like 150 trees. But it just went through like a tornado can. You know, that's one of the things I'd be worried about in the Midwest, is tornadoes can just be, you know, so deadly. But Florida gets its share of tornadoes too. Not as much as, you know, Texas and the Midwest, but we do. And you know, those winds are really quite damaging.
Since we're in a drought here and we had some hot weather, what are the best ways to protect your plants in the heat of the summer?
Well, water is always the key to life, so make sure you can get some water to them, and that's sometimes difficult. I have an automatic sprinkler system, and we have reclaimed water down here, so that makes it nice. I can use water legally every day, but if you didn't, I'd still think about if the tree needs shade, how about get some shade cloth? Build a little block from the sun. If you're getting really hot sun and you're not getting enough water, you can kind of build a little shade house, if you will, or at least a shade screen on one side where the sun's really beating down on it. I find here, and I'm sure in your area too, you know, from about 1:30, 2 o'clock till about 4:30 to 5, it just really is quite hot. And, you know, I'm paying more attention to that now too, because I'm taking drugs now that I can't stay out in the sun very long, or I increase the chance of skin cancer, which we might also add, besides getting your heart checked out. And I recommend guys do that, especially if you've had guys and gals. If you've had mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, maybe even some aunts or uncles or brothers or sisters that have had heart problems, you genetically may be prone to it. And don't just say, oh, I'll spit on it and take 2 laps, because that was kind of my attitude. So I would say, you know, as I like to say, I was in the river in Egypt. I was in denial. You know, I kept saying, no, it can't be me. So the same thing is true for other activities that you may be in. Be careful. Watch the salt. I've always been one that loved to put a little salt on, a little pepper on. I know, you know, Holly, you like to can and stuff, and you get stuff fresh from the garden. We should be eating more stuff from the yard and garden and less from packaged and bagged food. You know, it's fun to eat potato chips, but let's face it, you know, they're not that healthy for you. French fries taste great. They're not that healthy for you. You know, they're a vegetable, though. You could say that.
Right.
But, so I say some of those things just because, and I've done it too, because a lot of times I'd come in from tennis. I played 3 hours of tennis. I'd go, you know, I could go get me a McDonald's or Wendy Burger and a fry and a drink. And it's, you know, it's just a matter of driving through the drive-thru. And that's not bad on occasion. But I was probably doing that once or twice a week. So maybe, if anything, I was overdoing some of the foods that I knew that I shouldn't be. But, you know, it's a little extra work to cut up the carrots and the celery. It's a little extra work to handle some of the veggies. But I've grown hundreds of broccoli over my time, cauliflowers and Brussels sprouts and lettuce. Lettuce is always easy to grow. If you've got some even partial shade, the greens will grow. So, you know, tomatoes, of course, eggplants, anything in the Solanaceae family likes that full sun, like peppers, eggplants, tomatoes. So if you've got a spot that's getting really full sun, just make sure you can get water to them.
Right. Well, Stan, we greatly appreciate the time that you've given us. How can people find out more about you? How can they listen to the show on Sunday mornings?
Well, they can go to AskMrGreenThumb.com, and it'll take you to, you can see some of our past, listen to some of our past shows. You were on one of them just recently. Yep. And we appreciate that. And certainly we encourage people to, they can go to 860 as well, AM. I know you're on a bunch of stations, and I at one time was on like about 100 stations. So it's always fun to get people, you know, contacting you from all over and saying howdy. And sometimes we can answer their questions and sometimes not, but I usually try to find the answer if I don't know it right away. You can't know it all.
Right.
But I think that's been, it's been fun. I'm hopefully, now I have another 20 years of hopefully doing some radio and some podcasts.
Well, we are happy that you were able to be one of the fortunate, blessed ones to receive a heart and able to continue to do what you're doing.
I appreciate that, and thanks to all of your audience out there. I wish them all that they have a great day, and you know, be good to yourselves. Check out your health. Check out your heart.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. And when we come back, it's all going to be about your garden questions, our garden answers. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
This week's garden tip is brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. As your cool season crops to go to seed or bolt, that doesn't mean you need to pull them up. You can save the seeds from them, but also the plants are still edible. You can take romaine lettuce that is going to seed and cut out the central stem of each leaf, and the leaves themselves are edible. If left fully intact, they are very bitter. Radishes going to seed, once flowered, they will put on a small green pod. It is edible and tastes just like the bulb itself. This week's garden tip was brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com.
Are you frustrated by how hard and dry your soil gets at this time of the year? You're not alone. The problem is that your soil has a high clay content. The clay shrinks and hardens as it dries, squeezing the air out of the soil. When soils are tight, roots are under stress and can no longer absorb water and nutrients easily. If you want to start improving your compacted clay soil, give Aerify Plus a try. For 20 years, homeowners and landscapers have been using liquid Aerify Plus to aerate and bioactivate their soils. Aerify Plus contains a soil penetrant as well as a liquid humates and seaweed. Visit our friends at natureslawn.com to find out more about this amazing Aerify Plus product. That's natureslawn.com.
Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com.
Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. The Water Hoop is a portable water sprinkler system that allows you to target water evenly around the root ball of your tree or bush. Conforms to various shapes for your watering needs. The Water Hoop reduces runoff and saves money. Visit waterhoop.com.
Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com.
We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting BloominEasyPlants.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, Seedlink. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us. Time for your questions, our answers. If you have a question, you can get that to us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, or toll-free coast-to-coast, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. Holly, we had a number of questions come in this week. What do we got?
So once I removed the scapes from my garlic, do I have to dig it up once the lower sets of leaves dry up, or can I harvest it as needed?
You would want to dig it up once the lower two sets of leaves have dried up or died back, simply because if you leave it in the ground, there's rodents that can eat it. If it gets too wet, it can rot or mold in the ground. So removing it is the key to getting it out and then going and curing it so you can store it for long-term storage in your home.
Here's another question that came in.
All right.
Is, can I use needles from arborvitae trees? So, for mulch for vegetable gardening, I have 10 arborvitae trees that shed plenty of needles. Can I use them?
Yes, they are. You can use those for mulch. You're not going to have any problem with acidity. Just like a normal spruce tree, go ahead and use them. Not a problem. Next question about pine needles. Can I substitute pine needles for cocoa core husk in potting soil mix? I have a lot of the pine trees in my area. Any information would be appreciated.
So actually, no, pine needles cannot be substituted for cocoa core or coconut husk. It's just because they don't have any absorbent factors.
That's the purpose of cocoa core, yeah, or
coconut husk.
Coconut husk or peat moss.
Yeah, it's absorbent. So pine needles, no, you can't use them for that. They're not going to have that absorbent property.
All right. Here's a question about beets. My beets are all clustered together. Can I dig them out while they're growing and space them out correctly, or is that going to cause problems?
Yeah, I wouldn't dig them up. You really don't want to dig and transplant root crops, especially once they've been established. So, unfortunately, no, you're going to just have to let them grow as they are. But then next year when you grow beets, you want to thin them out, and you just simply trim.
You got to thin them out this year in order to get them to grow correctly.
If they're already growing.
Yeah, thin them out. Cut them with a scissors. Remove them so you have one every 3 to 4 inches. Like we did, and you figured out that beet greens wasn't that bad of a tasting thing. You were
baby beet greens.
Baby beet greens.
Little,
that's right.
not full grown.
So the what's going on there is every time you plant a beet seed, there's 4 or 5 seeds in that cluster seed. That's just the way nature has designed. So whenever you plant it, all of them grow, and then you need to cut back the weakest ones, leaving one there, not digging it out because it can damage the one that you're trying to save. And then that way you can have your beets spaced properly. You can use the baby beet greens as a salad or just eat them. And then that way it will allow you to have bulb development. If you let them all grow together, you're not going to have very much to any bulb development. So with that, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program this week? You can certainly revisit it by going to our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and clicking on the Season 5 tab at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you the link to this program. Tune in next week. Do not miss it, when we will be going over how you can grow mushrooms in your home and on your property, as well as spring seed collection capabilities or tips we'll offer you on that. Yeah, you can save seeds in the spring. Our guest will be author Wendy Silverado, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.